unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95 BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
The Russia-Ukraine war has continued to rage on, with scenes echoing that of the First World War, as intense battles lead to mass casualties and industry injuries. This has continued to overshadow, but not delay, other negotiations going on within Europe, such as the possibility of capping gas prices, including those from Russia. France has also been negotiating with America and other EU states about subsidy systems, as covered in my chat with Cameron Adams for Eurovision this week.
Sporadic shelling continues in Kherson, with 32 civilians being killed by Russian shelling since its liberation last month, according to Ukraine's national police chief. Power has mostly been restored in Kyiv after Russian missile attacks have destroyed up to half of Ukraine's energy infrastructure in the past few weeks. A two-day NATO summit on the war in Ukraine has concluded today. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg repeated NATO's support for Ukraine, stating that, quote, "We are all paying a price for Russia's war against Ukraine, but the price we pay is in money, while the price Ukrainians pay is a price paid in blood." Coming from the summit, there are rumors that the US may supply Ukraine with its more advanced Patriot air defense system, while America has also pledged another $53 million US dollars funding for Ukraine to repair its power grid.
There's been some pretty horrific scenes coming out of the trenches in Bakhmut. Can you please tell us what's been going on?
Yeah, there's been significant fighting in the central town of Bakhmut, which is now one of the main areas of conflict happening at the moment. Bakhmut has been under assault from Russian forces since early August, with Russian forces being commanded by the mercenary Wagner Group. With winter setting in, scenes from the front are looking more like World War One, and it's pretty grim. Ukrainian forces are defending the region in muddy trenches amongst destroyed tree lines, while drone footage shows continued attack by Russian forces. According to a report in the New York Times, there are up to 200 Ukrainian casualties a day, with likely much worse numbers on the Russian side, although Russian forces are reported to be making some marginal gains. This heavy fighting has also led to stress on Ukraine's artillery, with up to one-third of Ukraine's 350 American-donated howitzers being under repair at any one time due to the heavy shelling.
The EU has been trying to push forward a price gap on natural gas. Has there been any progress?
Well, not much. So a price cap on gas in the bloc has been debated for quite some time. However, there's been a struggle to achieve consensus amongst its 27 members. The European Commission last week announced a potential price cap of €275 per megawatt per hour. Under the rules, it would take 2 weeks of energy prices to be over this €275 per hour limit, as well as liquefied natural gas to be €58 over average for 10 days. This proposal was heavily criticised on the bloc and branded a joke by the Polish Energy Prime Minister after analysts concluded that the criteria for the cap wasn't even reached in the past year's gas price surges. Some countries, such as Italy, are calling for the price cap to be lower, while others, like Germany and the Netherlands, argue that a price cap would push gas providers to sell elsewhere and risk the bloc's energy security. Currently, gas storage rates are just under 95%, after earlier EU targets of 95% were achieved last month in preparation of what's turning out to be quite a cold winter. So on Friday, EU country diplomats will be meeting with plans for a final version of this price cap ahead of a meeting of energy ministers on December 13th.
There was also talk of a price cap on Russian oil. What's been going on there?
Yeah, negotiations continue on a price cap on Russian oil ahead of an EU embargo due to come in next Monday. So in May, an embargo on Russian oil imports into the bloc via sea was agreed. This would target up to 90% of imports of Russian oil into the EU. The EU wants to set a price about $10 lower than what Russia is selling for, and Russia is already selling oil cheaper than the Brent crude index. If the oil price is higher than the cap, insurance and other essential services to the ship carrying oil would be banned, no matter what flag it flies under. However, there are fears that if the price is too low, Russia will stop exporting oil altogether, which could disrupt the market and increase oil prices. Brussels have been working with the G7 and Australia, who had already announced a desire to enforce a price cap on Russian oil. So negotiations in Brussels are expected to conclude by the end of the week.
French President Emmanuel Macron is meeting with Joe Biden in Washington today, with American subsidies high on the agenda. Why is that?
Yeah, there's been pretty significant displeasure amongst European leaders at upcoming American manufacturing subsidies, with a fears a trade war could break out amongst the allies. This is because of the Inflation Reduction Act. This is Joe Biden's landmark legislation he signed in July. This is over $360 billion in subsidies for green energy and low carbon industry, which is due to take effect from next year. Amongst the regulation, there's $200 billion that the EU consider breaking World Trade Organization rules on unfair advantage to local manufacturers. The Act also contains provisions around Buy American incentives and tax breaks for building cars in the US, something the European car manufacturing industry is very concerned about. Macron today has stated that the Act was, quote, super aggressive towards European companies.
Does this mean that the EU could bring in its own subsidies?
Probably. This act is really seen by some within the EU as quite existential to European industry, as it already wrestles with higher energy prices and uncertainty due to the war in Ukraine. While a trade war is unlikely, it's probably the first significant disagreement between America and the EU since the war began. So firstly, the EU will be looking for an exemption with regards to tax breaks for car manufacturing in the US. There will be a meeting next Monday between the EU and US Trade and Technology Council, with EU governments wanting a solution quickly. The biggest question is subsidies, though. So with Macron calling for a similar, quote, Buy European Act and large-scale subsidies. German economy minister has also called for a, quote, robust European response. However, the reality might be more complicated. Similar to German disagreement on the gas price caps, there's also concern from Berlin about too many subsidies. The Czech trade prime minister, Josef Sikela, has also warned against a subsidy race. So yeah, it's probably a bit more of a, while the EU could bring in its own subsidies, it's probably more of a wait and see of what comes out of the meeting next Monday, and see if there's any appetite in the new year for an EU-wide subsidy scheme.
Moving on to climate change, the EU has proposed new rules on carbon removal that's getting some flak from climate change experts. Why is this?
Yeah, the European Commission today have released a draft proposal on a scheme to certify removal of carbon from the atmosphere. Brussels wants to create its own certification standard, which it would view as more trusted instead of existing voluntary schemes. However, details on the actual technicalities of the proposal are light, with carbon removal schemes already being criticised as not currently viable. Winyard Stoffs of the NGO Carbon Market Watch said of the proposal, quote, it's a framework, it's very vague, it's very non-committal, we are lacking a lot of very crucial wording. And in another critique of the EU's climate change mission, the WWF released a report this week claiming that the EU has given almost 100 billion euros in carbon permits to polluting industries over the last 9 years.
Lastly, a man in France has won the right to not be fun at work.
Yeah, a court in France has found that a man was unjustly fired for refusing to take part in, quote, fun social activities with his colleagues. The man, named as Mr. T, was fired in 2015 for, quote, professional incompetence by his employer, a consulting firm. The employee had claimed that the events were humiliating, intrusive, contained, quote, excessive alcoholism, and also included, quote, mock sexual acts. After a 7-year legal battle, the Court of Cassation had ruled that the termination violated his fundamental freedoms and that he was able to sit on the sidelines while his colleagues fraternized.
That was BFM European correspondent Cameron Adams chatting to me for Eurovision this week.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.